Salam dear listeners and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. It's many weeks since we started this series and every bhajan we take up in this program, it has always been a very, very ennobling experience, very, very joyful, beautiful and enriching experience because you are ruminating on bhajans which Bhagwan cherished, which Bhagwan loved to listen in those yesteryears in the 60s and 70s. And every bhajan is so filled with bhava, so simple to sing and so profound in its meaning. The bhajan we are going to take up today goes like this.
Chandra Shekhara Saishwara.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. You will hear Brother Srinivaslu give us a beautiful demonstration of the tune. Brother Anirudh will give us his insights on the raga. And then you will hear Brother Balram Chandran in conversation with Brother Mayur Dave, sharing their insights on what this bhajan conveys. Brother Balram Chandran was very kind to record this segment in our studios in Chennai and send us for this program. So all that is in store for this episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Let's get started with the lyrics.
Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Prashanti Nilaya Harashankara.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, so here is the tune of the bhajan. Brother Srinivaslu will now give us a beautiful demonstration of how this bhajan flows.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham.
Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Chandra Shekhara Saishwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara ప్రశాంతి నిలయ హర శంకర ప్రశాంతి నిలయ హర శంకర ప్రశాంతి నిలయ హర శంకర ప్రశాంతి నిలయ హర శంకర చంద్రశేఖర సాయీశ్వర
Now that we are done with the tune of the bhajan, here is Brother Anirudh giving us his insights on the raga of the bhajan as well as on the beat.
Sai Ram everyone. Now let's talk about the raga of this bhajan, the musical aspects of this bhajan. This beautiful melody is based on rag Shivaranjini in both streams of music. Shivaranjini is known for its the sadness and the pining mood is conveyed in this raga so much, and the notes which give this flavor are
sa re
shudri
ga
komal ga
pa dha
shuddha dha
sa sa dha pa ga re sa.
These are the basic five notes of the raga, and to add more beauty to the raga there are other notes as well, like shuddha ga and komal da, which are used now and then, like
sa re ga pa dha da pa ga pa da sa re ga da re sa da da pa pa ga re sa.
But the basic use of Shivaranjani is
sa re ga pa da sa da pa ga re sa.
It lies in the five notes. And coming to Sai bhajans, you have many bhajans which have Shivaranjani.
He Shivanandana Jaya Jagavandana.
You also have
Dasharathi Rama Jaya Jaya Rama Tripura Sundari Ma Jaya Jaya Mohana Murali Gopala.
So you can observe by singing the first line of all bhajan itself that everything has a sad note, more soulful, prayerful, and Shivaranjani is such a beautiful raga where I remember every Shivaratri we sing the Lingashtakam in Sai Kulwant Hall, which is beautifully composed in Shivaranjani rag. Now let's move on to the swaras for the bhajan. Let's take the first line.
Chandrashekhara Saishwara Gagare Regare Sa Sa Re Sa Da Sa Ga Ga Re Re Ga Re Sa Sa Re Sa Da Sa Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara Sa Re Ga Pa Ga Pa 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 Da Pa Ga Pa Ga Re Re Sa Sa re ga pa ga pa 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 da pa ga pa ga re re sa.
We come back to the first line again.
Ga ga re re ga re sa sa re sa da sa. Ga ga re re ga re sa sa re sa dha sa. Prema pradayaka parameshwara. Ga pa da sa dha sa 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 re sa dha sa. Ga pa da sa dha sa 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 re sa dha sa. Parameshwara Saishwara Satya Saishwara Pada Sari Gari Ga Gari Sada Sari Riri Gari Sada Sa Pada Sari Gari Ga Gari Sada Sari
After this line, we repeat the previous line.
Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara.
We'll go to the next line now.
Prashanti Nilaya Harashankara. Gari Sari Sada Paga Gaga Gagari Gari Sa. Dari sari sada paga gaga gagari gari sa.
The glide in the last line is so beautiful that it gives the emotion very nicely.
Prashanti nilaya harashankara. Dhari sari sada paga.
So that glide to ga is something which is which can be noted, and we can try to give the bhava or the feelings in this bhajan using these glides. Having done the swaras of this bhajan, now we shall move on to the beat of this bhajan. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, aditalam or keherva in the Hindustani classical music. Let's have the count, and Brother Anand will demonstrate in tabla how we sing this bhajan with the help of percussion. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.
Chandrashekhara Saishwara. Chandrashekhara Saishwara.
For joining in the session, Sai Ram.
Thank you, Anirudh. Sai Ram.
So with that, we are done with the raga, the tala, the lyrics of the bhajan, and it's time now to contemplate on what this bhajan conveys. What should be our frame of mind when we sing this bhajan? And Brother Balram Chandran shares his insights on this bhajan through a conversation with Brother Mayur Dave. Both of them are members of the Sundaram Bhajan group, and this conversation too incidentally was recorded in our studios in Chennai.
Sai Ram, Brother Mayur.
Sai Ram, Brother.
Nice to have a conversation with you on a vintage bhajan. As you may be aware, as part of Radio Sai's initiatives on Bhajan Tutor, we've been looking at bhajans which are relatively older. And while there's no standardized term to refer to these bhajans, we've been using the name vintage bhajan. So before we talk about the vintage bhajan which we have identified for today, what comes to your mind when you hear the word vintage bhajan?
First of all, a vintage bhajan must be something to do with those days when Swami was maybe in his 20s, 30s, 40s maximum, I would say.
Yeah.
Some people that would definitely occur to your mind will be somebody like Raja Reddy.
True.
All those old great devotees like Raja Reddy and the likes.
Yeah.
That's what immediately comes to your mind.
Yeah. In fact, to my mind again, what comes to mind is maybe these are even the pre-Prashanthi Nilayam bhajans. You know, the typical, the Patamandir bhajans, yeah, or the early Prashanthi Nilayam Day bhajans. When Swami used to have those hour-long bhajan sessions when Swami would chip in and sing his own bhajans. In fact, I have noticed these bhajans also tend to be longer. You know, I think later on,
that, yeah,
they became shorter bhajans. We had those four-line bhajans, five-line bhajans. But I think in those days, there was a free... a free play. They had a lot of freedom in terms of how much. So Swami was not very particular about,
right,
you know, I think a lot of time was given. Later on, I remember when we were part of the bhajan group during our student days, there was an emphasis on singing shorter bhajans because bhajan time was restricted to, say, about half an hour or so. But I think that they had a real ball. I mean, you know, they could express themselves freely in front of the Lord.
I think like what you are saying, bhajans those days used to be longer. And even if they were actually shorter bhajans, they would have probably sung. We have heard those old recordings where they have sung 6-7 speeds. And I think those were the days when Swami was really, really in his Leela phase.
Yes.
You know, so he would have really, really, you know, had about 2-3 hours. We've heard 2-3 hours bhajan sessions used to be about for 3 hours and all that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, after a break, they used to resume the bhajan session and Swami used to, I think he was in his full form then.
Absolutely. In fact, in those days, you also had bhajans which had alaps, and alaps were very common. And in certain cases, I've noticed, especially for the vintage bhajans, the alap is sometimes longer than the bhajan itself.
Correct.
Like Muralidhara Mukunda Murari, for instance, which Swami sings. That is one bhajan where the alap itself was long. So I think it is a very different genre of bhajans. And those bhajans had certain qualities which were very different. I mean, from the ones which are... There was a feel which is very different. I think the moment you sing these bhajans, either Chitravati comes to your mind or the Swami who would longingly wait outside Patamandir for those devotees struggling to reach Parthi. I've heard people used to take a detour because when the easiest path to come was not necessarily the most favorable path because there were people who would trouble devotees. So these devotees would take a long detour, take a lot of trouble. They would come with families.
Yeah.
Today, we drive into Prashanthi Nilayam.
It's so easy nowadays.
Yeah.
Those bullock cart days and people used to walk for miles together.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think with all this difficulty when they reach Prashanthi Nilayam or the Patamandir, whichever it was, and sit in front of Swami, I think, and you really kind of... You know, when you go through that kind of an ordeal, I think you really express yourself when you're in the Lord's presence.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that is how these vintage bhajans were born.
Imagine people staying under trees, cooking their own food, and I think those days are those days.
Exactly.
So vintage is vintage.
Vintage is vintage. And in fact, so in those days, I think what happened is that Swami was very easily available while there were no facilities. Today, the facilities are there. And you're left longing for Swami, at least physically. So one of those bhajans is what we've got an opportunity to talk about today. Chandrasekhara Saishwara, Chandrakaladhara Hridayeshwara. So what comes to your mind, brother, when you listen to this bhajan?
The black and white photo of Swami, I'm sure all of us have seen that photograph. The photograph which were... after developing the negative print of the photo, there is a moon on Swami's head and Vibhuti and the Vasuki on Swami's neck. That's something that immediately comes to your mind whenever you hear something like Chandrasekhara or a Chandrakaladhara.
Absolutely. And if you see, the word Chandra comes twice in the first two lines itself. It talks about Chandrasekhara Saishwara, Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara. So very interesting because I think with Shiva and the moon being associated in spiritual parlance with the mind, you know, the mind is generally sometimes very troublesome, but he has controlled it and he actually makes it an ornament.
Yeah.
So... That's a very beautiful concept. In fact, if you see in the first two lines, it talks of Chandrasekhara Saishwara, Chandra Kaladhara Hridayeshwara. Also, if you look at the ragam, you're somebody who sings very well. You're pretty well versed with Carnatic music. So, What broad genre of or what raga would this bhajan be in?
I think this is predominantly in raga Shivaranjani.
Okay.
Just with a slight deviation, I think, in between somewhere. That's the hallmark of any Sai bhajan, I would say. So predominantly in Shivaranjani.
So pretty interesting, right? Because whatever little Sanskrit I know, Shiva Ranjani. Ranjani is, I think, one which places Lord Shiva. And somehow, I don't know, it fits in very nicely with Shiva bhajans. And I don't know who composed these bhajans. And if you see, these people never bother to leave their names. So you never know who composed these bhajans, who sang these bhajans. Very appropriately for a Shiva bhajan, they have chosen the Shiva Ranjani as a raga. So to quickly run you through the lyrics, it is Chandrashekara Saishwara, Chandra Kaladara Hridayeshwara, Prema Pradayaka Parameshwara, Parameshwara Saishwara, Satya Saishwara, Prashanti Nilaya Harashankara. So that's how the entire bhajan flows. So is there any experience, episode?
Must have been a bhajan which came after the new mandir was maybe constructed or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, correct.
It's Prashanti Nilaya.
It's Prashanti Nilaya. So one of those early, this must be after Pathamandir, the, you know, early Prashanti Nilaya days.
So maybe those transition days from Pathamandir to Prashanti Nilayam, the main mandir, the new mandir maybe.
Exactly. No, we are speculating. That's true, but must be right. Because if you say Prashanti Nilaya Harashankara, so, and Swami is referred to as Shiva. So interestingly, even in Swami's own poem on himself, while Swami is of course Sarvadevata Atita Swarupa, Swami in his own poem on himself writes, Nalgava Garbhamuna Shivudu Avatarinchaga. He says, he describes himself as Lord Shiva. And in those days, I think Shivratri would draw greater crowds than even Swami's birthday. So must have been, you know, sung, composed during one of those occasions. So is there any experience or anything which comes to mind when you, you know, listen to this bhajan?
No, quite a few times, like what you were saying, Swami has expressed himself or explained himself as Lord Shiva. Time and again, he's emphasized on the point that this is where in the Sai Trinity, Shirdi Baba, Shirdi Avatar was more of the Shiva Swarupa, and Prema Sai is going to be more of Shakti. And this one, the Satya Sai Avatar, is always more to do with the Shiva Shakti Swarupa. So I'm sure Shiva has is the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, whenever you describe Swami as Shiva, so there are you know, two things which come to mind. So one experience which clearly comes to mind is that you know, during the early student days. So you know, one of those dramas which Swami organizes for students. So the boys were all ready and they were in the green room, which is, this must have been in Purnachandra auditorium. So, you know, right behind the stage, the area behind is used as the green room in Purnachandra. And I'm not sure whether Swami used to reside in Purnachandra in those days. But typically what would happen is that the boys would be ready in advance and then Swami would come down and Swami would be around with the boys. So what happened is suddenly, again, I'm not sure that's the students or the Balavikas group, but it was definitely a drama with all the boys around. And Swami comes and Swami is looking at the entire, you know, group of boys who are ready to enact the drama. And in his typical style, Swami is examining every costume to see everything is okay. So the main character, or one of the main characters for the drama, is Shiva. So there's a boy who's fully dressed as Shiva. So Swami goes through each and every detail. Everything is perfect. So the Chandrakala is there, Chandrakaladara. The, you know, the lock of hair, the beautiful lock of hair is there. They've got something symbolic of the Ganga flowing. He's got, you know, the tiger skin dress. Everything is perfect. The Trishula is there, the Vibhuti is there. But then Swami's eye catches one detail which everybody had missed. So there's one problem with the entire makeup. Would you be able to guess what it was?
Is it the Vasuki on the neck?
No, the Vasuki was there. So interestingly, the problem that Swami caught was not something which was absent. Swami actually caught something which was extra and shouldn't be there.
Okay.
Suddenly Swami notices that this boy who is acting the role of Shiva actually has his wristwatch on. So, had actually forgotten to take this off. So, you know, I believe Swami actually looked at this and Swami said, you're acting as Shiva and you're wearing a watch. And he said, Shiva does not wear a watch. And then Swami said, see, and pulled his own robe and showed his wrist. And everybody laughed it off. But if you actually look back, that is a moment of revelation. That's a parting of the curtain where very, you know, very subtly Swami is actually, not subtly actually, very directly Swami is actually directly, told Shiva. Yeah. He said Shiva does not wear a watch and then he shows his own hand. But then it was, the entire experience happened in the, you know, in a context where everybody kind of laughed it off. You know, a very casual statement. So, you know, when he, very rarely does Swami, even in discourses, Swami talks of himself as God as a third person, as though God is somebody separate. But here is, I think, one of those moments where Swami reveals directly. So that's one thing which, you know, comes to mind when we say Prashant Nilaya Harishankara. So right in the middle of Prashant Nilayam and Purna Chandra, Swami actually revealed that he is none other than Lord Shiva himself in a very beautiful way. Because everybody laughed it off. But if you look back, I think that was a beautiful moment of revelation.
In fact, the place that the drama was supposed to happen and the entire episode that you're narrating, you're talking about the so-called Purna Chandra auditorium.
Huh.
Purna Chandra.
Chandra, oh, that is beautiful. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, Chandra Shekhara and Purna Chandra. So, yeah, I mean, see, even I think the place where Swami chose to enact this entire episode.
Yeah. And which used to be his residence too.
Which used to be his residence.
For quite some time. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, somewhere maybe that's an indication that, you know, the Chandra is the mind and then Swami made it his residence. Maybe we need to, they say that of course the heart should be the residence, but maybe a mind also should be full of Shiva while we actually go through this bhajan. So is there any particular line in this bhajan which really catches your attention, which really, you know,
I think the very first line which talks about the very beauty of Lord Shiva, Chandra Shekhara and Chandra Kaladhara. So that itself immediately gets you into the imagination of the very beautiful form of Lord Shiva. So I think what more can be more beautiful than this?
Exactly. Because if you see Shiva, generally, the reason why we are discussing all this, brother, is because, see, while we sing a bhajan, when you talk of bhavam being the most important ingredient in bhajans, there are some bhajans where you can think of a storyline. Like Yavasai Baba Sakal Bhavan Ke Data, where you think of a storyline while you sing that bhajan. No, Anandamaya Bhagwan, where you think of a storyline. So that automatically gets you into the frame of mind to deliver that bhajan with a lot of bhavam. But you know, there are not too many bhajans that way. There are some bhajans where it will have to be one thought which kind of fires up the entire bhajan, which captures your imagination. So you very rightly talked about the beauty of Lord Shiva. Generally, you talk of beauty, you talk of Mother Parvati, or you talk of, say, Mahavishnu, Lord Narayana. But I think Shiva is also beautiful in his own subtle, calm way. And it's a very different kind of beauty. It's a Nirmalya kind of beauty, you know, like not the fully decked up beauty, but in his own pristine, original form, he is, I think, sublimely beautiful. So, I remember Swami, I think it is in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, when they talk of part one, they talk of Vibhuti, which Lord Shiva wears. Then I think the word Vibhuti has got many names and one of them is Bhasitam. Bhasitam is one which increases splendor. And you know, Shiva is with Vibhuti all over, shining forth like a moon. So I think the moon which is there on Shiva's head has got a competition. In fact, one thing comes to mind, brother, when we say Chandra Kaladhara Hrideshwara, something just comes to mind. There's this poet, I don't remember the name of the poet, I don't even remember the name, the language in which this song was written. This poet makes a passionate plea to Lord Shiva. So what he's actually saying is, he tells the Lord, he says, Lord, you reside in Kailasa, and that's very cold. He says that on your head is the Ganga, and that is also very cold. On your neck is Vasuki, and Vasuki is again a cold-blooded reptile, so to say. You know, the form which he's taken. So, everything around you is cold. So, then he says that you actually must be feeling very, very cold. And then, after stating these facts, the poet says that, you know, my heart is very, very warm. So why don't you come and reside and enjoy the warmth in my heart, you know? So when you say Chandra Kaladhara Hrideshwara, it's almost an invitation that you make, you know, to the Lord to reside in your heart. You know, that's a very audacious claim. I don't think it's easy to...
Very true.
Swami says that if I have to stay in your heart has to be clean. But I think whoever made that who, which a poet wrote about this. I think that's a very audacious claim that he makes. He actually invites the Lord saying, my heart is very warm, so come and enjoy, you know, the warmth. One more thing which comes to mind is, in fact, in those days, of course, Lingodbhavam, those were the days when, you know, like we said, Shivratri used to draw much bigger crowds. You've heard of Swami giving this interpretation of Lingodbhavam. Have you come across that?
No, I don't remember.
So this was narrated to us during my student days by one of our teachers. He was actually saying that in those days, there was a separate group of Sevadal volunteers for the Lingodbhavam. I'm not even sure whether they were called Sevadal volunteers in those days, but they were volunteers who would be instructed directly by Swami to assist the crowd, and the crowd of devotees who would come for Shivratri. So I believe that Swami himself had designed the badge which the Sevadal would wear as a mark of identification. So like, you know, any badge, it was a round badge with, you know, the Linga symbol in the center and the Linga with the Peetam. And then you had the word Lingodbhavam written, you know, around the circumference of the badge. So Swami picks up this group of Sevadals and, you know, gives them an interview. Swami is giving them instructions. And somewhere in between, I think Swami asks them, what is Lingodbhavam? Now, you're volunteers for, you know, for Shivratri Lingodbhavam. So what is Lingodbhavam?
So something that suddenly comes to me as a question here is, you're talking about Swami himself choosing a set of volunteers like these.
Yes.
Sevadals, so-called Sevadals. It could have been a Shivratri badge.
Yeah.
So why is it specifically a Lingodbhavam badge?
Exactly.
So he's actually, you know, more than the Shivratri, I think Lingodbhavam is much more.
Absolutely.
And you know, he creates a badge for in the name of that.
Absolutely.
I think something must be definitely there.
Yeah. Something must be definitely there. In fact, it's an interesting point that you made, because eventually in the conversation, that's what Swami also seemed to point out. What Swami asked them, what is Lingodbhavam? Then they said, Swami, you know, you're taking out the lingam from within. Swami says, no. That is just what happens. But what is really Lingodbhavam? What's the significance? And they couldn't answer. And then Swami picks up the badge. And Swami says, read. So they read the spelling of Lingodbhavam. It's written in English. So the spelling is Lingodbhavam. Okay. And then Swami says, what does this mean? And they're not able to answer. And then Swami goes on to clarify. Swami says, Lingodbhavam. And then he says, L stands for live. IN stands for in. GOD stands for God. And BHAVAM stands for Bhavam. Live in God Bhavam is Lingodbhavam. So beautifully. It was hiding in plain sight. It was actually right in their chest. Right, very close to their physical heart.
Right.
You know, but Swami is saying live in God Bhavam. So when you talk about Chandrakala Adhira Hrideshwara, you know, living in the Bhavam that God is within. Interestingly, brother, if you see, I don't know, possibly as far as my limited experience goes, this is the only object which Swami materializes from within.
Right.
Otherwise, it's always manifested externally. So, have you, and it's very painful. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see. It's a very painful thing. You see it once, you would actually pray to Swami saying, don't do this.
Yeah.
It's very, very painful.
I mean, we don't want that. Please stop this.
Exactly.
What immediately comes to your mind when you see that?
For the onlooker, it's extremely painful.
Yeah, yeah.
And Swami goes through this pain, and it's... somewhere I get a feeling, if you correlate this with what Swami is saying, and Swami talks of, you know, the lingam coming from within, I often wonder why should Swami take, he could have actually done it outside. In fact, on one occasion at least he's done it, where he's created it outside. But, you know, but Swami doesn't refer to that as Lingodbhavam. I think what he refers to as Lingodbhavam is the lingam coming from within. So maybe Swami is actually trying to illustrate, you know, like a very good teacher, Swami is trying to teach, because lingam is a symbol of God. And he actually takes it out from within, as though to say that God is actually an insider and not an outsider. That God actually resides within you. And there can't be a more clearer way of actually showing that God is within you. So live in the bhavam that God is within you, he says, is the message of Lingodbhavam.
I think time and again what Swami has always emphasized is the inner journey, the inner path or the inner connect. So all the other things has always been, he's always said, okay, you're also God. I am God, you're also God. I think the entire mission, Swami has always tried to emphasize on the inner path or the inner journey. So I think linga udbhavam from inside, from within.
Yes.
Or your travel within, your journey within. I think the crux of the entire avatar is that.
Exactly. And I think it is, maybe the mission is to help us live each moment of our life in the bhavam that God is actually residing within us. So, I think we should conclude by actually praying to Swami that this bhajan, whenever we sing it, turns out to be a very powerful prayer to the Lord to help us. I think it's not even a question of we inviting Him in. I think He's already there. It's more about we realizing that He's already there within, like Swami shows in His Lingodbhavam.
Like how one of the lines says, Pratishwara, Prashanti Nilaya Hrudeshwara, it says.
Exactly. Chandrakladra Hrudeshwara.
Yeah.
And the Prashanti Nilaya, Shankara, who is actually the resident of Prashanti Nilaya, the real Prashanti Nilaya is actually within you. And, you know, the Purna Chandra, like you very beautifully pointed out. So, our prayers to Swami that this turns out to be a very powerful, this bhajan, whenever we sing it, turns out to be a very powerful prayer, which helps us to actually see the Swami who is there within us and live each moment of our life in the bhavam that Swami resides within us. Definitely. Thank you so much, brother, for taking time out for a Swami conversation on this.
Swami's grace. Jai Sairam. Jai Sairam.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a very gifted bhajan singer who has sung in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for 5 years during his student years, and even now whenever he comes to Prashanti Nilayam, he sings in the Sanctum Sanctorum at Puttaparthi and regularly offers his music at Bhagwan's abode in Sundaram, Chennai. And he was in conversation with Brother Mayur Dave, who is a member of the Sundaram Bhajan group. So with that, it's time to move on to the last segment of this program. You will now hear the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Chandra Shekhara Saishwara. Chandrasekhara Saishwara.
My friend.
Chandrasekhara Saishwara.
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.